and trust you can all hear me well. For all that are those that have joined via YouTube or any MS Teams, my heart and my prayers that our Lord Jesus Christ would ignite something afresh within you, that he would instill new life and then it wash over you this morning with his spirit, that life, that God would just increase everything that is of him in your life, that his word would become a reality to you this morning. So my message to you is a light to the nations. And it's just something that the Lord placed on my heart, and the Spirit showed me two things a few weeks ago, but I'll share that with you a little later on in the message. And this is a theme that's been coming out over and over again as different people have been ministering and preaching God's word about being a light to the nations. So I want to start off by saying that in many ways we have retreated and we've become comfortable, and in some ways we've isolated ourselves. What God has called us to, I believe, is not an optional program. The word of God says that the harvest is great, but the laborers are few, and it is so. There's a great need staring us in the face. There's a great need that the church faces today. Jesus is out there in the broken and the dirty places, and that's where he wants us people. So I'm asking you this morning, your walk with Jesus, is it religion or is it devotion to Christ? One of the signs of a genuine Christian is that he will walk the narrow way, a supernatural walk of God. So I want to start off this morning and I want to ask you, what is the meaning of light? And I looked it up through the week on Google, and this is what Google says the meaning of light is. It's the agent that stimulates sight and makes things visible. Isn't that what Jesus has called us to? To stimulate light and to make him visible, to open the eyes of the unbeliever. It says to make something to start burning and also to ignite. How interesting is that? Jesus has called us to release that, to ignite people's hearts and to release the spirit of a people's life that it begin to burn in the people's hearts again. In the word of God, it says that it is defined as life. And I'd like to read John 1 and from verse 1 to 5. John 1, verse 1 to 5. The word says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. So we see that the absence of light is the absence of eternal life. Darkness referring to death spiritually. So those who walk in darkness did not have eternal life. Why? Because they are not known to God. So I want to ask you, what is God's heart? What is God's heart for us? What is God's heart for the church, for the body of Christ? God's heart is for the world. And we see that in Luke 9, verse 2, the word says that he sent them to preach the kingdom and to heal the sick. Who did he send out? He sent out the disciples. In Proverbs 23, verse 26, the word says that, my son, give me your heart and let your eyes observe my ways. So we see that he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God. Clearly, we can see that Jesus' ministry was to build God's kingdom. And that's what our ministry should be, about building God's kingdom here on earth. What does that mean for us? It's the kingdom of God. Is the rule of God in the hearts of people around the world. Every church, that's you and I. And we're not talking about the bricks and mortar building. So every church, every believer that follows Jesus is part of the kingdom of God. So if we are to be true disciples of Jesus, we must obey. And I love the scripture, and we often quote it, and I think many of us unite off by heart, and that's Matthew 6:33, where it says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and then all these things will be added unto you." And often we've got a tendency to go to the bottom part of that scripture. "Then all these things will be added unto you." And we're not prepared to hold on to those first few lines where it says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God." And that's what God is wanting for us in this time, that we need to seek him with all our hearts. If we are following Jesus, God's kingdom must and should be our priority. God will always relate to us all with the world in his heart. John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." I'd like us to turn to Isaiah 49, verse 6. Isaiah 49, verse 6. "Indeed," he says, "it is too small a thing that you should be my servants, to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved ones of Israel. I will also give you as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be my salvation to the ends of the earth." Acts 13, verse 47. "For so the Lord has commanded us, I have set you as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be for salvation to the ends of the earth." So in the Word of God, it says that I'll make you a light to the nations. And what does that word "make" mean? It means to form, and it means to create to a specific design. And when we follow Jesus, we will follow in his footsteps, and that is exactly what he'll do. He'll form us, and he'll create us to a specific design, to what he's calling us to. We're all different. I can't function the way you function, and you can't do things the way I do things. So in your own way, as you follow Jesus, he'll form you, and he'll create you specifically to what he's asking you to do in this time. I want to go on from there, and just two areas that I believe are very important in our walk with our Lord Jesus Christ, and there are two important keys that will unlock a victorious life and victorious walk with him. And I believe that's what's needed in this time, and that's obedience and love. So obedience and love go hand in hand, and I just feel that the one can't work without the other. It's like a tire and a rim. So the tire can't function without the rim, and the rim can't function without the tire. So when you put the two together, they function properly and they begin to roll, and they perform the duty that they were called and made to do. So what is obedience? Obedient servants of God do what he directs us. We are not to pick and choose the ones who want to obey. He expects us to do everything he tells us to. What is obedience? I believe that it's the outward expression of your love for God. Many years ago, Lynn walked into the bathroom, and I could hear her yelling in the bathroom, Ivan, you've dropped all these towels on the floor. If you really love me, you'd pick them up and you'd hang them up, you put them where they're supposed to be. You know, doing things that please God, this is demonstrating your love for him, and that's obedience. What is the reward of obedience? Our belief is that God will make himself known to you. We see that throughout the Bible, when people were obedient to God, he made himself known to them. And you could see it clearly in the outworking of their life with him. He will make himself known to you. If you have obedience, if you have an obedience problem, guess what? You have a love problem. If you love him, you will obey him. You will lay your life down for Jesus. Obedience is costly. But let me tell you something. It's worth the price. Obedience is costly, but it is well worth the price. I want to read Jeremiah chapter 7 and verse 23 for you. Let's start off with verse 22. For I did not speak to your fathers or command them in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt concerning burnt offerings or sacrifices. But this is what I commanded them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people, and walk in all the ways that I've commanded you, that it may be well with you. That it may be well with you. God is not asking for burnt offerings or sacrifice, but he wants our obedience to him. Obedience has its costs. You cannot know and do the will of God without paying the price of adjustment in your life. And I want to look at Apostle Paul, where he describes his adjustments in this way. And we can read that in 1 Corinthians 9 verse 22, where he says in the word, I have become all things to all people, so that I may by all means save some. I have become all things to all people, so that I may by all means save some. And those were the adjustments that Apostle Paul had to make. So God has been very specific and very clear about what we have been chosen for here on earth as the body of Christ, as his children, as his people. And what are they? I believe it's to be a sign pointing to God. We are to be a revelation of who God is and what God is doing in the world. We are to be a manifestation of God in the world. So one of the reasons why I'm sharing this message with you this morning, I said with you earlier on that the Holy Spirit showed me two things, and I would like to just share that with you. And the first one, the first thing that I saw was I saw a house, but it was dark outside. I saw that there was light in the house, and that there was light on the inside of the house, and I could see people serving and ministering within this house. And I believe that there will be those that will be effective in the Lord's work to those in their immediate surroundings, family, friends, colleagues. And I believe God is increasing your influence in those areas in this time. So if you're willing to follow God and to trust him, it will increase your influence in those areas in this time. The second thing that I saw, and it's something that it hasn't left me, and I've pondered on it a lot. I saw clearly these lighthouses rising up from within the ocean, and there were many of them. And as they were rising up, they were moving with great speed. They were tall, they were strong, and there was a boldness and authority about them. The wind and waves bashed and crashed against them, but you know what? It had no effect against these lighthouses. Something interesting about a lighthouse, and I just looked up quickly the different designs, and the purpose of that lighthouse, and you can't put any personal effects in there. There's no space. They were designed specifically just to give off light. And I believe that's what God is doing in this time, that those that love him and those that are willing to walk out, they will be like those lighthouses rising up from within the ocean, and they will move with their authority and with the spirit in their lives like never before. These men and women will not be intimidated. They will speak God's word. Their vision and mission will be God's vision and mission. They will trust God and they will lay their lives down. People, I really want to encourage you that this is the time to follow Jesus like never before. God's raising the standard, and he's raising up a people that are really devoted to him. And when we follow him, we will move like this. We'll not be intimidated. We'll have the authority and the fullness of Christ in our lives like never before. And I want to encourage you in those areas. I want to read for you Luke 9, verse 1, 2, and 3. And let's see what the word says. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And he said to them, take nothing for the journey, neither staffs nor bag, nor bread nor money, and do not have two tunics apiece. So as with that scripture, God commanded them and he said to them to take nothing with them, that he would provide for them, that he would meet their needs as they would follow him into the different areas that he is calling them to. So I want to turn this whole thing, and I want to look at it from a different aspect, theory and practical. The theory and the practical, they go hand in hand. So if I want to be a doctor, or I want to be a driver, I want to learn how to drive a car, there needs to be the theory and there needs to be the practical. And I believe in many cases that we've been taught so much and we have so much theory, but God wants the outworking of the practical in our lives. And that means following Jesus. It's like learning to drive the car. There's got to come a time where I need to get into that car. I need to push the clutch, put it in gear, rev up the engine and let go of the clutch. I know for a learner driver that we might over-rev it and we'll pop a wheel and there'll be screeching of the tires. But you know what? That's not a bad thing because you're going to get the attention of everybody around you. So we've got to move from a place of being theory to a place of practicality and moving with God. When we move with God, we're going to get to know him like never before. We need to be doing the word of God. God doesn't want spectators just looking on. There are too many spectators, I believe, within the body of Christ. God wants people to be doing, and he wants us to run the race that he set before us. He says in his word that I am the light of the world, and whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. When I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And that's John 8, verse 12. I know that we've had many words and much prophecy, and God has revealed stuff to us personally in dreams and visions, and that's all that will ever be if we are not obedient to following God, to following Holy Spirit in our lives. I want to encourage you this morning. Let's move into a place of practicality and let's walk out with Jesus on the water in this time. And let's become that lighthouse, the lighthouse to the nations. Let's take Jesus out there to a lost and to a dying and to a broken and to a dirty world. God is with you. He will never leave you. I want to read to you an amazing scripture, but I'm going to read it to you from the Message this morning, and that's Matthew 5, verse 15. I just love the translation of the scripture. Here's another way to put it. You're yet to be the light. Bring out the God colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bath and under a bucket, do you? So I'm putting you on a light stand. Now that I've put you there on the hilltop, on the light stand, shine, keep open house, be generous with your lives by opening up to others. You'll prompt people to open up with God, this generous Father in heaven. How amazing is that? So I have a few questions for you. Just before I close, and I'd just like you to ponder it through the week, and as you ponder on these questions and just through the word that I've shared with you this morning, that Holy Spirit would begin to speak to you and that it would ignite afresh in you again. And I want to ask you, are you seeking God's kingdom above everything else? And if you are, what is the evidence of that? How has God been using your life to impact those around you? Have you been faithful in what God has given you? What is the evidence of that? And do you believe that God can change the world through your life? I believe He can. He can change the world through your life. Let's not hold back. Let's step out and let's trust our Lord Jesus Christ to do a mighty work through us as we follow Him in this time. So be blessed, and let's walk out and let's follow Jesus in this time. Thank you, Mark.
Thank you, Ivan. I wonder if you would pray for us, please, Ivan.
Great, I'll do that. Father, we love you so much. We love you so much, Jesus. And we know that it's not in our own strength. It's not in might. But it's through you and it's through your Spirit. And Father, my heart for us today would be a people that follow you in every area, in every sphere of our lives. That we wouldn't be afraid and that we wouldn't fear. That, Father, we'd keep our eyes on you and would walk out like those waves in the wind that crashed against those lighthouses. That as we follow you and the things that come our way, Father, that would just bounce off. They'll have no effect in our lives because our eyes are fixed on you and you have our hearts in the palm of your hands. So, Father, I pray today for a reigniting and for a strength that we would be a people that would rise up and that we'd be accounted in this hour, that we would be a people that know you, Father, that we would have experiential knowledge of you, not just theory, Father, but that we would experience you, that we would know you in the outworking of our life, in the specific way that you've called us to. So, Father, we thank you that as we lay our lives before you and as we follow you, that we would be a people that would impact this nation like never before. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Ivan.